Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Senseless.
I watched the second half of Senseless.
And this is the other half.
Dog Days of Mason.
Something smells weird in here.
Smells like bad.
It smells bad. Oh no, we got another movie by Craig Mazin.
This is the kind of movie I have been so excited to watch because it's like, one, a very poorly aged like boner comedy. Yeah. Two, like this is probably like, if there's like a, I'm sure there must exist a video online where Craig Mazin goes through his entire film career. I'll bet this is on the list of like, I don't want to talk about this movie.
Yep.
Like, I do not want to be associated with this film.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's the case for pretty much everybody in this movie, right?
Yep.
Like, you've got, who else is in this fucking movie? Marlon Wayans.
Uh huh.
David Spade.
David Spade. I think it was
Brad Dorff. Yeah.
Matthew Lillard.
That's right. He plays the Canadian. Crazy how much we're coming up with Canada, by the way.
I know.
Yeah,
coming off that month.
Yeah, that's right. Rip Torn. But he's been in some bullshit.
Yeah,
so I'm
Rip
sure
Torn,
he doesn't give a shit.
It's not impressive.
Yeah.
He could be
but,
in anything.
But yeah, this was the kind of movie I was looking forward to because like when I think about Craig Mazin's like filmography, I think about like him trying to just cut his teeth on like just the worst bottom of the barrel, terrible comedy films.
Sure, you gotta pay your dues, right?
You gotta pay your rent.
You gotta pay your rent.
And this is the way to pay rent, is you give Marlon Wayans a movie directed by the person who did Wayne's World. Wayne's World director.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny, because we were walking at a flea market, and we saw a big poster for this.
And I pointed out, I'm like, we're gonna have to watch that for the
And I
podcast.
Looked at it, and I went, All right.
I feel like I've seen this poster before, and it kind of helped because I was sort of going in like, okay, so I've got an idea from the poster. I'm like, you got Marlon Wayans, some kind of drug that's going to make him do something. I didn't know what it was going to
be. I didn't know what it was going
to
be either.
It had something to do with his senses, probably.
I thought it was going to be like sense as in like dollar sense as well.
Oh.
But
like
he has no
money?
Sense.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be, which it kind of is.
Kind of is. Yeah, it is about money.
It is about like Wall Street and like big investor corporations and
da-da-da.
Yeah. But like, this movie's so weird because you have, Marlon Brando, Marlon Wayans, and he's just
could have had senses.
My senses are too powerful.
I'm gonna give you a sense you can't refuse.
And he is just playing such a character that's just like, he does not belong in this world. I don't know why he wants to be in this world.
He wants money. That's all it is, right?
It literally is just money. And he's just
because
like,
he wants to be able to help his family.
Yeah,
his poor mom.
It's very simple, but I'm just like, there's so many other ways to make
money.
Dude. You don't have to be like going.
This is going the hardest way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he got accepted into Stanford, right? And that's pretty.
How
pretty...
did he get accepted into Stanford?
I don't really know. And it kind of implies that he's like not really going to Stanford either. I don't. It's very weird because.
Is he going to Stanford? I thought he was going to some like school that sounds like Stanford.
It sounds like
isn't.
He's not paying for Stanford. No, it is Stanford.
Oh, it is Stanford.
Straight up Stanford.
Okay. Okay.
So he's going there, which, you know, that's pretty impressive. But it's just like, he's just such a goofy character that I'm just like.
Yeah.
You're just. It's like. That moment in Succession where you're like, you're not serious people.
You're not a serious person.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a goofy movie, so I shouldn't look too much into
it's
it,
a
right?
goofy movie.
It's a goofy movie. I mean, it's not much worse than How High, right?
I would say it's about the same on par with How High. Maybe. Well, apparently a little bit worse. It's got some pretty shitty reviews.
You know what? Honestly, though, like, some pretty bad reviews. And it's so weird because there are moments in this movie where I'm like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
But then it's like, he just is like, all right, now do some improv. And be goofy, and the camera angles are funky, and I'm just like, what is this?
So I've got a little bit of behind the scenes knowledge about
Ooh,
this. So
exciting.
Apparently, this was distributed or produced by Miramax
and
the Weinstein Company, the Weinsteins.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently, the director said that while on set, the Weinsteins kept showing up, and going like, "This isn't funny," and giving like updates to the script to make it funnier, quote unquote, for them. Basically, the director was like, "This was the worst." Like filming experience I've ever had, and basically after this was like, I don't know if I ever want to make another movie again, just because of like that experience of these producers being so heavy-handed with like the script.
Are you saying the Weinstein guys are bad?
Are bad. That's crazy. It made a woman uncomfortable on set. Yeah, exactly.
In this shoot?
In this shoot.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean like the director who was a woman like made uncomfortable by the fact that. But it was bad. And you can feel it. You can feel the really bad improv that's being like introduced or like the fucking nowhere like jokes that work. Go ahead and tell me.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's some interesting like kind of like class stuff they kind of get into and you know privilege and da da da.
Sure.
Some kind of stuff like that they touch on, and it's done with such a different hand. And then they're like, "All right, now we got to make the funny part go."
Yeah.
And it's just like, Mr. Waynes, can you be as funny as possible? And he's just like, sure, I guess.
I read a Roger Ebert a review about this movie just because I was curious what he had thought about it. I think he gave it like 2 stars. Out of 4, which is actually pretty good.
I was going to say, that's fair, because there's something there.
There's something there, and that's what he says, and he's just like, basically he compared Marlon Wayans to like a Jim Carrey, where he's just put him on screen to be as goofy and funny and over the top and improvise as much as he wants, but he's not Jim Carrey. He doesn't have that kind of energy. You know, you do have to give him something to like play with, something to work with, and it's you can sort of feel him like butting up against a situation. Later on, there's one that I'm like, this is one of the most awful scenes I've ever seen for this podcast.
Which is crazy because there's so many other moments where I'm like, okay, this is like...
There's something there.
There's some like touching moments between him and like his family, and even just him with like Tim and everyone.
I like him.
Like,
I like his mom a lot.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of good moments where he feels like a real character, and then so many times he just feels like a cartoon guy who just is like, oh, okay.
It doesn't help the fact that he's playing a character that, well, I think in your half of the movie has like, was it extra senses or just senses are extra heightened?
Yeah, he has super senses.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the movie opens?
Sure. The movie opens with it saying Marlon Wayans starring in Senseless. And
that's how the movie opens?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, did I? Yeah, I got his name right. I don't know why I was thinking
it's Marlon
Wayans. It's Marlon Wayans. Yes, I was thinking Marlon Brando.
You were thinking Marlon Brando.
Yes. Okay. I was like, did I mess this up somehow again? No, okay.
No, Marlon Wayans.
Okay. So
but it would be very funny if we kept calling him Marlon Brando. Brando. Yeah. People were just like, Marlon Brando was in this crazy weird comedy called Senseless. Where he plays a college student.
So that's we're introduced to doing. They're in Stanford, and they're a freshman orientation guide, and that is what our character. His name is Daryl Witherspoon.
Yes,
he is giving orientations to these kids, and he also is. He's hustling. He's doing like a million jobs at the same time.
Yes,
he's also delivering packages while he's giving a tour.
Right,
he's cleaning up the campus while he's giving a tour. In fact, he's making people on the some of the students he's touring around. They have to clean up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He gives a tour to see something called Truman's Scepter. Does that come into play in your half?
No.
Really?
No.
Because you zoom in on it, and I'm like, I wonder if this is going to matter, but I guess not. Okay.
I should look up the director. Oh, wait, I already know the director of the movie. Wayne's World. Yeah, okay.
Yes. He goes to all these different places, runs around, like literally just having these kids follow him, and gets a new tour of people. He's like, okay, and now it's you. We're doing a tour now. And he has to drop off a package to this guy named Dr. Whedon, who is the scientist who eventually gives him the drugs. But
Yes. Did you recognize him?
No, I didn't recognize him.
So, he is the voice of Chucky.
Oh, really?
That's Brad Dourif.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, he did look a little bit different than when he's out of the doll body.
Well, okay. He's also in Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. He's the guy that's like, hey, King, you gotta
do this. Oh, he's Wormtongue.
Yeah, he's Wormtongue.
Yeah, that definitely looks like that. That makes sense. Anyway, so but it's funny because you see like a little rat in a cage, he's just glowing green. And I was like, I had no idea what this movie was about at all.
Oh, sure.
So I was just
sure.
That's weird. That's weird. There's a green rat,
the
mouse.
The glowing green potion really feels a lot like Reanimator to me.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed.
Big Substance vibes from this.
Oh, dude, 100% it's The Substance,
it's
by the
substance.
Way.
This is
especially
the
especially
the
second half of the movie. It's just straight up The Substance.
It felt like it was going to go that way, because I'll get to it. There's a moment where I'm like, oh, this is just The Substance.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He does like some exercise on TV.
He does some exercise on TV, very sexily. Which
he keeps showing Marlon Wayans' butt.
I could see The Substance scenes with Marlon Wayans doing all the improv, and it fits so perfectly.
It does. It really does.
It fits so perfectly. So he goes back home, and he talks to his mom, and his mom's, I guess, like paying a bunch of money, like asking him money for for gas. Apparently, mm-hmm. her gas bill is like $281. And it's like,
what the hell?
He's like, what are you cooking over there? He's like, well, you know, I like to cook things real slow.
See, these jokes are good.
It's funny.
These jokes
are
good.
And he like punches in some stuff on his spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, so I owe you this much bomb, or you owe me, or whatever. And he's like, if I get this job at this place called Smythe Bates, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah, I just kept calling it Wall Street, but yeah.
It's basically Wall Street. Yeah. It's just a Wall Street, I don't know, like a financial institution or something. He said, if I get a job there, I get paid $60,000 a year. And I was like, damn, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Times have changed.
That was like a junior position, though.
No, I mean, like, that would, I'm trying to think of, like, when this was made and, like, what was it, like, the 90s?
Yeah.
It's like, that's probably the equivalent of like $150,000 or something like now.
God, that's crazy.
Probably something like that.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I guess. I didn't do the math, but that just seems like, it's just funny just seeing like when they use exact numbers, I'm like, oh, inflation.
We know now. We know this inflation takes place. Yeah.
Yep. So admission calls him actually after his mom and he says he's dead. So I'm imagining he's not paying his tuition. So he's has to make money to pay his mom and probably pay rent because actually Tim appears earlier, played by Matt Lillard, and he's like, hey, man, you got any rent? And he's like, oh, I'll get working on that. So he goes to the, so you see all the stuff he's doing for money.
Right.
And he's going to a blood bank like five times using different caricatures, I would say. To pretend
oh,
to be different
no.
People. Yeah, you know exactly how that goes.
No.
Most of them aren't bad except for the one where he plays a guy named Ahmed.
This is what I wanted to know. What were the caricatures? Yes. Thank you very much. Okay.
It's like Sammy Davis Jr. was another one.
All right. All right. That's fine. That's fine.
But anyway, he gives blood like five times and then at the end just passes out. And he wakes up and he's like, oh, I gotta go, gotta keep making money. Mm-hmm. So he goes to like a sperm donation bank.
Yes.
And he gives like four vials or four samples. And he's like, I could go for a fifth sample. Just give me something real freaky in there. Give me some real freaky porn.
I always come harder to freakier shit.
Well, he's got to just drain those balls.
He's
got to
drain that snake.
Drain that snake. So he goes back
Do
home.
Do you recognize the person working at the sperm bank, by the way?
Was it the lady from
That 70s Show?
That 70s Show, yeah, she was in it. Anyway, goes to Tim and his roommate, and he's
like, Matthew Lillard's character's name is Tim.
Yes,
got it.
Matthew Lillard's character's name is Tim. And
Matthew Lillard's character's name is Tim.
So Matthew Lillard's character's name is Tim.
Matthew Lillard's killers.
I don't know why I want to say killer. Like, he got killed by some guy named Tim.
By Tim.
His name is Tim.
Tim.
So, he's there and he's just like, hey, I'm joining a frat.
Mm-hmm.
And his character trait is he never sticks with anything. He always just does like a latest
Tim?
Trend. Yeah. He just does like random stuff. And Daryl calls him out on that. He's like, you know, you got to stick with something. Like, you're joining this frat, but like, how long are you going to last? And he's like, well, I'm going to last a while because for this frat, I'm giving up all sex, all alcohol. And he's like, I can't even jerk off. And he's like, that's crazy. That's crazy. You have to do that.
For this frat? How do they know?
That's a great question. How do they know?
It's like that movie that's coming out. Was it like One Night Stand or something?
Oh,
like
One
that?
Night Only or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, One Night Only. Yeah, where it's like you can only have sex one night a year. And it's like, how do they know?
How do they know that?
How do they know
they
that?
They live in a surveillance state, I guess.
I think that's what it is.
It has
yeah,
to be.
Yeah.
They're all spying on you in your phone or something.
Shh.
What a weird dystopian
concept.
Land.
Yeah.
If that were true.
The worst thing about this is that you can only have sex one time a year.
Yeah, I know, right? So it was very funny because he's like, yeah, you had all this phase where you were a goth and you were a Buddhist and da da da. And he's like, you even had a bisexual phase. He's like, okay, but like, come on, man. If you saw Brad Pitt in an Interview with a Vampire, you'd be a little conflicted too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, all right, it's a good joke.
It's not a joke. It's the truth.
Okay.
Okay. You're not supposed to laugh at that.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. My bad. I was in the 90s mood where it was funny to laugh at people's sexuality.
Well,
don't worry. There's more of that later.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. This is what right after you busted a goat over Ahmed. You're like, oh, now there's a bisexual joke.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Bisexuals are just invented then. It was the 90s. That's when
true.
They first existed.
They just started appearing. Yeah.
Started appearing. So they had to make fun of it.
You got to
make fun of it. It's new.
Yeah.
You got to stay with the trends. That's what comedy's about. But anyway, he's like, yeah, man. Also, I got a Prince Albert.
Oh, do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do they show it?
Well, he explains it to the audience in case they don't know, because I think it was new, so they had to make fun of it.
Oh yeah, it was new.
It was new. But yeah, he got that. He got that piercing on his dick, and I think the chain goes to his balls. I don't remember that part being one of it.
Not part of it.
Yeah,
at
I don't
all.
Think so.
No, no.
But you know, he went a little extra. I mean, his whole character is I got piercings also.
I can't remember what movie it was. I should probably look it up at some point. But like, there was some movie where a girl gives a guy a blowjob that is like a Prince Albert. I feel like it's the end of the movie. Like, this is like the end of the film. Like, this is the thing that's going to...
Oh, like the joke. Like the climax of the
climax of the movie.
And the climax of that guy.
The climax of that guy is like, she's giving him a blowjob, but she has braces and her braces get stuck in the Prince Albert. And I don't know what movie it is, but I feel like I saw it on like Comedy Central. Like,
it feels like an American Pie
one in the morning. I should look it up. I'm going to look it up.
You should look it up. That's a very strange search query, but go for it. So Scott the next day, we haven't introduced Scott. Daryl's there, and then Scott
appears.
I just
looked up Prince Albert braces movie, and King's Speech came up.
King's Speech?
Because I think his name is Prince Albert.
Incredible. I can't believe that King Gagal's lessons give a good blowjob. But he did.
He did it.
And he nailed it at the end.
That's the only way for him to speak without stuttering.
I always speak without stuttering with a cock in my mouth.
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush shows up and he's just like, zip, suck on it, bitch.
Hey, whatever gets
Helena
you through.
Bob Carter's there watching. Just like, you gotta do it. You're gonna do it.
I haven't seen that movie since it was in theaters.
I haven't seen it since it was in the theaters either. The movie's called The Sweetest Thing with Cameron Diaz.
The Sweetest Thing?
Christina Walter spends years avoiding men, then suddenly met her perfect match while hanging with her best friends, Courtney and Jane. When she finds out that he had left town, she and Courtney set out on a trip. Cameron Diaz, Thomas Lane, and Christina Applegate.
That was like when they were like, we're going to make some like raunchy romantic comedies.
This was 2002. Also, it makes sense because, sure. Yeah, she was also, Cameron Diaz was in, oh my God, what's the name of that movie again? Something About Mary, which was famously also had a lot of raunch to it as well.
Stuff to it.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, so Daryl's at the school cafeteria. This guy named Scott, David Spade, shows up. And
how great is he in this movie, by the way?
I was actually going to say he's terrible.
What?
I do not like him at all in this movie.
Well, he's a bad character, sure.
No, but I also think he doesn't bring anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
Just kind of like, I feel like he's just reading his lines. Mm. I don't know. I feel like, if anything, he's sleeping through this movie, so I'm very surprised.
He absolutely is sleeping through this movie. That's what I loved about him.
Oh, because he doesn't care about it.
He doesn't care. Yeah, he's throwing everything away, and I love it.
Yeah. yeah. Your definition of good is very strange, but
like,
okay.
No.
Whatever you say, Mike. He's so good at doing shit.
He's
I'm like,
doing jack shit for this terrible movie. I love it. How much was he paid?
Okay, so I have to write that down in terms of like, why Mike likes something shitty. They're not being paid much in this horrible movie, and they don't care. Therefore, they're doing a great job.
Okay, in my book. It also helps that he's just like a charming guy in general, like David Spade.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. David Spade's whatever to me.
He's got that feathery hair.
He does have feathery hair. I do model most of my hair off of him when I was younger.
Did you really?
He had a pretty solid haircut. Look, us white boys with the very fine
very
hair.
Few.
We gotta stick around.
That's
you know?
True.
I got
That's
a few
true.
Inspirations and you know, I'm gonna go with what I got. Yeah. Anyway, so he comes in, he's like, oh yeah, I'm getting employed here real soon. Like, you know, in the employment 500. Mm-hmm. I am the pace car, which is the car that they set pace to. We know all this from all those racing movies.
F1. F1 the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And check out that podcast, by the
way. That's a great episode with Brad Pitt, who was in Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
And made Matthew Lillard feel like he might be into guys.
I thought you were going to say with Brad Pitt, who guested on the show. And I was like, yeah, why
Brad
not?
Pitt,
just
who
lie.
Was sleeping through that movie.
He was sleeping through that movie as well. But you didn't find that great.
I did not find that great.
Found that boring.
Because he was paid too much.
That's true. He was paid a lot. And you do want to at least get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but he's like, yeah, I'm setting the pace. I'm doing so well. And Daryl's like, also, your dad runs the third largest bank in Manhattan.
Yeah.
He's like, I guess that counts too. Some pretty lady walks in, and Daryl spills ranch all over himself. Right where his dick is.
So it looks like he came.
Yeah, and she's like, ooh, is that a Hidden Valley Ranch on you? Or are you just happy to see me?
Is that Janice that's asking?
Janice. Okay, but we don't know. She literally does not introduce herself, and then she walks away.
Cool. I love how the women characters are treated in this movie.
Yeah, they're characters, all right.
Well, I know her name. It's Janice.
It's Janice.
And she has so many interests, like Daryl. Yep.
She's looking for a guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all
that's
it is.
That's her character.
Yeah.
So then class is starting. I don't know exactly what class is. It's just kind of like a financial class.
Sure.
Smith and Bates has a representative there that's going to show up. They do like a little promotional about kind of this career. What's the word? Kind of when someone joins a... Like, oh, it's not like an internship, it's a step above that, where it's like they hire a junior associate
or
something.
Junior,
like straight
from junior position.
Yeah, junior position straight from college. So they pick
someone
from
this competition.
Class. It's a competition to do it.
Which is crazy to me.
I know, it's crazy. Imagine people like hiring companies that do that sort of thing, but if they're in like such demand.
To have like a competition, like later on, it's a literal competition. Like they have to answer questions.
Yeah.
Like that's...
I mean, it's an
nuts.
Interview process, right? In some ways,
that is
all
kind of
interview
like an interview.
Process,
they're trying
just,
to make an interview process
less,
cinematic, right?
Yeah, and they're also making it less naked, right? Like, in the end, you're all kind of competing against each other. But like, they're like, literally, let's make it kind of like a game show. Kids will love it. It's fun.
Kids will love it.
It's got promotional value. Anyway, so they say, yeah, we don't see it as a just like a temporary position. We see it as a stepping stone to greatness. And five of you will be chosen to be finalists.
Okay.
And the student who most likely resembles... who we're looking for will become a junior analyst.
Got it.
And I'm like, oh man, so the only black guy here is probably not going to get it because they're all looking for these white guys.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Really don't bring that up though. Really don't.
I almost kind of wonder if Daryl was not supposed to be written as a black guy. Like I almost wonder if he was written as just a poor guy. And then they were like, let's get like Wayans in this. Like he can bring in like the kids. You're right. There's not a lot brought into the fact of like there's clearly a race issue.
There's a little bit, but there's a couple jokes, but nothing like too. It doesn't seem too integral to the plot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's like the guy representing the firm is like, hey, I got a theoretical question about like, okay, so this business is here and the numbers are not going up, but everything's going okay. What would you suggest? And Scott raises his hand, and says, reduce the workforce. And he's like, okay,
lay them off.
That's the idea. Basically that.
Right.
And Daryl's like, I actually think against that. I think what this one company did in the 70s is they actually, when they're losing to boost profits, they actually started giving part of the ownership to the employees. And the workers who got more money were able to spend more money and therefore raised all their profits up. And I was like, damn, all right, okay.
So this is one of the things I kind of find funny about the movie. And I'm like, okay, I see where Mazin is coming through. Because this is the kind of shit he gets off on.
Oh, yeah.
It's like those little weird, like, minute details.
Yes.
That are like financial, money, numbers.
But
like,
how it affects the whole thing, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Like, because, like, the same thing happened in, what was it, a previous movie? Identity Thief, where he was talking about like, okay, well, here's like the financial situation, right? So like, he's always obsessing, and even like I said in Chernobyl, which is a show you've yet to see.
I've seen it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I watched all of it.
You watched the whole thing?
There's only five episodes.
Yeah, they're so good though, right?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
But it's the same thing, right?
Yes.
Where it's like he's always focusing on like the tiniest little minute, like you know, details, the numbers, the estimations. That's like what this movie. Once it gets into that shit. The movie is fucking sailing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, it's most confident, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
I think I agree with that. I think that's probably his strength. I mean, obviously, Chernobyl is kind of like the epitome of it. Because it's like, he is, because of his, like, detailed accuracy to everything and his obsession to researching things, maybe he gets up his own ass a little bit in, like, the comedy points. But, like, in a movie that's, like, or a show that basically has zero or anything funny about
it. Yeah,
yeah. It works great for that.
I thought it was pretty funny when, like, all those people were, like, melting.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And their families show up.
Their families show up, and they give them a hug, and then they also start melting from the inside.
They also start dying. Yeah, that's
great.
Shit's pretty great.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I love how that movie, the show opens with, like, you're just following the firemen. And, like, you know, it's, like, the last thing you see is the fireman, like, hugging his wife and then leaving. And then he goes and shows up. He starts melting. And then his wife is like, no.
Yep.
Shit rocks.
Yeah. Or, like, he picks up something off the ground. And it's like, wow, my hand's completely red. That's funny how that works.
That's, like, 30, like, I want to say 10 minutes into the show.
Well, the 10 minutes into the show is the part with the guy hanging himself.
Oh, yeah.
That's the 10
right.
minutes into the show.
That part's also really funny.
That part's also really hilarious. Guy commits suicide.
Well, it's so funny because it's a reference to Mad Men when he did that.
I know, it's so funny. I was thinking the same thing because the same actor.
Same exact actor.
Anyway, this is not a podcast about Chernobyl.
But this is a podcast about Mazin, though. We have to compare it to Chernobyl.
Yeah, you're right. That's the thing is, all those little details, including the fact that he hung himself like 2 years exactly after the thing exploded.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Which apparently did not happen, but he did it a day later. But yes. It's like, ah, dramatic effect.
Yeah, it's way more interesting.
It's way more interesting if it doesn't exist.
But that's still crazy. And that's something that he knew, and he's like, oh, let's move it a bit. Let's move it one day. Yeah.
That's a great example of it.
Exactly.
And spoilers for the first 5 minutes of Chernobyl.
I didn't want to spoil it. Spoilers for Chernobyl. A fucking nuclear power plant blows up and kills a bunch of people.
Just go read a book.
How fucking good was the old man that's also in Andor?
Skarsgård.
He's so good, right?
He's so good. Also, the thing is, though, in that, I mean, they did a really good job because they show at the end all the characters and what they actually look like.
What they look like, yeah.
He looked so much like JFK to me. RFK. Sorry, RFK.
RFK, yeah,
so much
like
RFK to me for some reason.
It's because the hair.
It's the hair. Yeah. It's the exact same haircut.
But he's so good in it.
He's really good.
My favorite character in the whole movie.
He has a great arc.
He does have a good arc because he starts out as like a bureaucrat and then he turns into like a guy who's like, no, the scientists know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Let him speak. He's like coughing into a handkerchief.
Blood everywhere.
Shit
yeah.
rocks. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway.
But this is what I'm saying. Is like, it's exactly the same as this, where it's like he's focusing in on all these like tiny little minute financial numerical details.
Mm-hmm,
I think that's where Mazin actually thrives, personally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I
not in comedy.
Agree. No, not in comedy. But I think that's what's, in some ways, could make the comedy funnier when he has the little details. Those are the things we always found. I think the best is when it's just kind of like, oh, I know how that works. That is funny.
Yeah.
When he makes like a joke that's like written, it sucks.
Oh, it's terrible.
Always sucks.
It's terrible. We'll get into some of those.
Yeah, we're getting into some of those. But a lot of it, honestly, though, most of it's the bad improv. Like, most of the part where I'm just like, eh.
And you can always tell it's improv, too.
Oh, you can tell so hard. You can tell so hard. Anyway, so we're going back to this thing. So Scott then says, remember how Daryl was like, oh, they gave it all to the company. But then Scott says, well, actually, because I have insight in their financial situation, turns out they're actually not doing very well. And if so, if it does fail, not only will the workers be in the unemployment line, but also will the CEOs and the presidents. And I'm like, no, they won't. They'll be fucking fine.
But he's fear-mongering. That's the whole point.
He's fear-mongering.
Yeah.
And there was like, oh, I got fucking owned. And Scott looks at him. He's like, you're out of your league. I know more than you.
I know more. I know how to scare people better.
Anyway, that's boring. We don't want to talk about no more stuff in class.
That's
boring.
Bullshit.
What if he wouldn't go to play hockey? Daryl, he needs to go play hockey to get a scholarship so he can get in the fraternity.
Yeah.
So he goes and tries to play hockey. Tim is upset because he hasn't jerked off in a while. And Daryl is like, I want to get on the team, coach. And he's like, fine, we'll try to be goalie. And he's like, okay. And he fucking sucks at goalie.
Yeah.
He has goofy improv and fails and falls everywhere. So Daryl needs some extra money. And he's walking around. He's exhausted. He's failed everything. He feels bad. And he sees something called Protocol 563, which is a experimental drug. And he's like, I'll go.
Sees it where? Like a poster?
Yeah, it's like one of those things on the campus you see. Like you tear off the numbers.
Got it.
Like call here.
Got it.
So he goes. There's a bunch of people in there, like kind of just a random classroom, and they start talking about all the side effects for the drug. But he's so exhausted from just being alive. He's bored. That he kind of falls asleep while they're like, you'll get, there's a high chance of like constant diarrhea and rectal itching and da-da-da-da-da. Like all this other stuff that's like horrible.
That's so
all
funny.
These people are leaving. It's hilarious. And he's like, everyone's left, and he's like, oh, I guess I'll be the only one here. It's just like, how much do I get paid? She's like, okay, I guess you'll join. So then he meets with the scientist, and the scientist was the guy from earlier with the glowing rat.
Right.
He was like,
Chucky.
Yes, Chucky. He's like, okay, so this drug is amazing. Everything about you will be better. Your five senses will be magnified 10 times over. You'll have super senses. He's like, I don't care. How much does it pay? And he's like, it's okay. You take 6 cc's every single day. That's it. Make sure to stick it in your butt. He's like, oh, that sucks. How much does it pay? He's like, make sure to do it before you go to bed or it's going to get a little too crazy. You have to be at like low serotonin level. He's like, okay, that's fine. How much should I get paid? He's like, because you're the only one here, you'll get paid $3,000. He's like, I'll do anything. I'll be your little outbreak monkey for $3,000. That's funny because I'm like, man, I haven't heard the term like outbreak monkey in a while.
Yeah.
I remember that like kind of died, I feel like, in 2010. I don't think anyone said it since then.
Yeah.
It's definitely a term that's just kind of been gone. Because
have you ever seen the poster for the movie Outbreak?
Yeah.
It's literally just the monkey.
I know. That's why everyone, I don't think most people have seen that movie, but they know about the monkey.
They all know about that monkey.
Look at that monkey. It's on the front. Anyway, but all that stuff where he's like, you have to do this. You have to make sure it's in your butt. I'm like, this is a substance. He's going to fuck it up.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
You have to take the exact amount because at some place
you're
going to be like, I got to be more powerful. So Tim goes and talks to him and is like, you suck at hockey, bro. And he's like, yeah, I know. That's kind of it. So then he goes to a frat party, the frat party of the one he's trying to rush for. And Daryl, that is, specifically. And everyone's watching this lady dance. She's hot. And he's like, whoa. But Daryl's talking to some nerd guy. And he's like, hey, you're cool. Get me to pledge. And then we see the lady from earlier, Janice. And she introduces herself. And she's playing hard to get. He's like,
of course.
All in her. And she's like, no, I'm not interested in you. It's like, oh, okay. So he goes and then tries to pledge. And then Scott sees him and is like, hey, you know what, man? Turns out, like, we're all a bunch of nerds. We're all in, like, specific things, like being on the special team or being class president. And you're just too cool. You're too cool for us. So, unfortunately, you're just not the right material. He references something in VH1, and I'm like, damn, VH1 reference.
VH1. Is that reference. Even around anymore? It couldn't be, right?
There's no way. It definitely has the cultural cache. Does not have the cultural cachet to put into a movie.
Yeah,
a joke.
That's true.
But he's like, you're just not Kappa material, man, but thanks for trying. You're just too cool for us. And everyone kind of like makes fun of him as he walks away feeling real bad.
VH1.com still exists.
Yeah, I'm sure it still exists. But like, does anyone actually care?
Is it an American basic cable television network launched in 1985. It's still around.
Still around?
Still doing stuff. But I'm sure it's just like, you know, whatever like is falling off of MTV. They're just playing it now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, MTV, another relevant cultural
touchstone. Oh, my God. I can just see it being a TikTok
account.
You know what's
account.
On there? Hmm. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They did get it on there. You're right. I feel like RuPaul's Drag Race, though, is like on so many other streaming services, too. But, yeah, I think it does come first.
It
VH1.
Was moved over to Logo, but he first aired on VH1 from 2017 to 2022. So, you know.
Anyway, so Daryl gets home. He's all dejected, and then he takes the substance. And he looks at it and says, life can't get any worse.
Yeah.
And he does that. But then
he
has an exam the next day. Mm. And so he goes to the exam, and the professor is like, this is a very important exam. It'll matter towards your grade so much. So it's very important. So, of course, that's basically what it says. It's like so obvious. It's like, this is an important exam, audience.
This is an important exam. It will matter towards your grades so much.
So much.
Not an English teacher.
Not an English teacher, no. No. Almost like a podcast. I was just saying things based off shoddily written
memory,
notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he's, of course, starts taking a test, but he's got super senses now.
Right. And so how's that going to help him with the test?
It doesn't. It distracts him. All he hears is noises,
people
writing down, people breathing. He could smell their breath. He leans over to her lady. He's like, someone's not smelling super fresh today. I'm like,
what a weird thing to say
to
somebody.
And she's like, shut up, I'm clean. And he can't stop being triggered by literally everything. He eventually freaks out, stands up, and just can you all quit it?
Sounds like a real college student.
Real college
Triggered.
Student. Triggered, dude.
Charlie Kirk showed up.
Oh, no.
Triggered him.
Triggered him, dude.
Trigger got pulled. Anyway.
So he yells and, like, fails his test because he breaks out.
That is absurd to do.
What?
To get up, like, in the middle of the room and be like, everyone shut
the fuck
up. If
your senses are 10 times more... And you're trying to concentrate. Like, it's already kind of hard in a testing environment.
You're coming to his defense.
A little bit.
Right.
I think obviously he overreacts. I would have probably just been like,
hey,
I'm going to step outside or something and take a little break.
Also,
you know, I don't know what he's going through.
That's true. We don't know his experience.
I have never taken this weird drug before.
This is what it feels like when people tell me they have, like, misophonia. I'm just like, okay.
Which one's misophonia?
The mouth sound thing.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? I think it is.
I don't fucking know. I was asking you.
Pretty sure that's what it is. And everyone's like, oh, I can't stand that sound. I'm like, you can fucking deal. Just chill the fuck out.
Mike says, like, your problem is not my problem.
This is one of the
few things. This is Mike's cancel
thing. This is my anti-woke viewpoint. I'm like, you can fucking deal with it. Everyone's like, oh, I can't stand the sound of mouths. I'm like, no one can stand the sound of mouths.
It's not great.
Get
no
over
one likes it.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Man, Mike's getting canceled.
I am getting canceled for misophobia. Misophobia is coming for me, and you know what I'm going to say in response?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Yep. Mike's senseless and heartless. Don't worry, I won't do too many mouth sounds. unless it's intentional. Problem is,
that's literally what a podcast is a mouth sound.
I guess you're right. We kind of filter out everyone who probably has that issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so he's getting too much senses. He goes to the doctor and basically like has a whole scene where he's listening to the doctor, but not really, because he's basically just trying to scratch his asshole the whole time. And he grabs all sorts of different things. No, Daryl is.
Oh, okay.
Because his asshole's so itchy from the side effects. And the doctor's like, this is understandable. Like, you're having so many senses. It's working. Mm-hmm. You just need to concentrate and gain control over your super senses. He's like, okay, whatever. And he leaves. The Smith Bates finalist comes out, and he's not even in position for it. He's not a finalist. He failed.
Oh, man.
Basically.
He's never going
to
get it.
And he's like, oh, what am I going to tell my mom? Which is very sweet.
It is.
Like, he's like, I only care about my mom. She was really believing in me.
She worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I love his mom. His mom's adorable.
So he goes home. He's had all these noises. He's looking outside at the window. And he's like, okay, I got to concentrate. So he just sits there, concentrates for a little bit. And then everything quiets down a little bit. He's like, oh, okay. So we have regular, and he looks at his hand normally. And then we have super, and he zooms in really close on like his thumbprint.
That's
like,
cool.
Well, I got superpowers. And then you know what he does? He goes, he looks outside, sees a lady walking away. And he's like, normal. And then super, you just see a zoom in right on her ass as she's walking.
Dude.
And he makes sounds like blah, 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 blah. And he makes all those sounds that everyone's gonna hate with his mouth that I will not repeat here.
Yeah,
but maybe totally. Mike will. Yes. He's boss Nass. Yeah,
he's boss Nass. I want to go through that woman's core.
And come out the other side. It is the only way to have sex. You're some bombad ass.
You send big doo doo, Jar Jar. You got too many senses.
Yes, I love doo doo.
Anyway.
Daryl's working a catering job, because of course, why not? I do like that they set him up to just be like, he does everything. So
he's a hard worker. He's
but the catering job is very specifically like a finalist dinner. The finalist dinner. He finds a job for that.
Okay.
And so he's there talking with, of course, that's two guys. Rip Torn, by the way, is the representative.
Right. Working at that cool place.
He's chatting with Scott, and Scott's basically given Daryl a brush off because he's like, oh, hey, it's nice to meet you. Da, da, da.
Right.
So Daryl goes back to the kitchen, and there's two guys there, and their whole joke is he has super senses, so he hears them and how they're hooking up all the time.
Mm.
And he's like, wow, that's crazy. But, you know, Daryl, to his credit, doesn't freak out about it.
Wait, hooking up with each other?
These two guys hooking up with each other, yes.
Oh, okay. Gay.
Which was gay. But I thought that Daryl was going to make a whole thing
sure,
about it, right?
Yeah,
like, it
didn't.
Feels like that
he
kind of movie.
Care.
He's just like, huh, interesting. He's just getting gossip. It's
right.
Like, oh, that's fun. And
can I ask, does it come to play later? Them hooking up?
Kinda.
Oh, okay.
Not really. It's
because I'm like, okay, so they're just doing this for a joke for the audience to laugh at the fact that he's
no, because they come into play later.
Oh, okay.
And there's another joke that's like, okay.
All right, let's.
I'm
hear
giving
it.
The movie credit a little. I'm giving his character credit.
Yeah. Daryl's a good guy.
Daryl's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
And. He then goes outside and listens and has like he listens to the conversation Scott and Rip Torn are having.
Sure.
And he uses super hearing to hear it about Sharmada and how he's like, what is your opinion, Scott, about Sharmada? And he's like, oh well, you know, it's da 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 da. So he goes up actually and like serves himself. He's like, oh, I was just talking about he brings up the conversation Sharmada naturally. And they're like
right.
Rip Torn's like, oh, we were just talking about that. It's very important these days. How'd you know all this stuff? And then
yeah.
He start bringing up all these things.
It's a good Rip Torn.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And he walks back, he's like, okay, I did a good job. It's cause Scott's like, go get some wine for us, please. So he goes, gets some wine. He grabs a newspaper. He asks actually Rip Torn's like, hey, can I get some butter with some bread? And he goes back. And
what an insane thing to ask.
Well, I know. And he goes back. He says, no salt, because he's watching his figure or whatever.
Sure.
I imagine.
With bread. Not bread with butter.
Oh, no. He brought bread, and he wanted the butter. He's like,
bread.
Give me some butter
okay,
for this. So
here.
He's like, all right, I'll go
sounded
get it.
More like, can you give me a stick of butter and put some bread on it?
Torn's a funky guy.
He is. Oh, he is.
He's a funky guy. I bet there's
she
some more
crazy.
Stuff.
Crazy. Yeah.
He leaves and goes to the kitchen, and the kitchen basically has like a. He talks to the two
The two gay guys.
Two gay guys. And he's like, hey, you guys got any butter? And they both look at each other like, no, we used it all.
Because we'd be fucking each other.
With the butter.
With the butter.
And he's like, damn it. All right, well, he finds like a he finds a newspaper.
You crazy gay guys.
You crazy gay guys. How about all your sex with butter? He goes and gets a newspaper. And I'm like, what's he going to do with his newspaper? And then he sets it across the way from where the dinner is having. Mm. And he plays a game with everyone at the dinner. And it's just like, just tell me what the current, like, pick a company and I'll tell you the current stock price right now.
Okay.
And he does that. And he's like looking at supervision, like reading the newspaper from super far away.
That's pretty clever.
And he's really good at it. And Rip Torn's like, this is amazing. This guy's a genius.
Where's my butter?
Where's my, I already forgot about the butter. He's so good at this. And he does so good. And he's like, hey, actually, you know, this, you, it's a real shame you're not in the finalists. He's like, yeah, I wasn't accepted because I just, I failed the test. Yeah. I failed the test. He's like, well, we could bend the rules. We could make exceptions. Yeah. Why don't you be the sixth finalist? They're like, all right. But Scott's like, no,
pissed.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
So anyway, doctor keeps testing Daryl. He's got supervision. And he's like, don't exceed the dosage.
Right.
He's like, Daryl says, for the first time in my life, I feel like I have power now. And he's like,
can I ask really quick? If you were the doctor in this situation, why don't you just give him the exact dosage that he needs to take? And then you just like...
Probably because you have to buy a bunch of vials then. And it's like...
Oh, no. I've got to buy a bunch of vials? That's awful. Just refill the vial.
Well, you trust the guy will do it.
Yeah, you trust the guy. But you keep reminding him, don't do this. Don't take more than you need.
That's... It's like having a bunch of pills... And you're just like,
this
I'm only going to give you one
experimental drug.
Like, yeah, but like.
That could possibly cause
you get prescribed
major
something,
harm.
You're not going to be like, oh, here's your antibiotics. Take them all at once. Like, it's like,
this
don't take them once a day.
Antibiotics. This is an experimental drug. He's on a drug trial.
But you expect a normal person to just take.
He's not a normal person.
You don't know that. I'm just saying you can't be like, here's your individually packaged like pill. Take it once a day. It's like, no, we're going to give you a pill pocket here. A pill package.
Sure.
Pill pocket. Like
pill
dog.
We're going to get a hot pocket.
Fill with a pill. Have your meatball hot pocket here with
anyway,
one,
sorry,
one dose of whatever the experimental drug is. You open it up, it's like green in there. So then, anyway, but he says, first time in my life, I feel like I have power. Right. And the doctor says, very important, just remember.
With great power.
No, power is a drug all its own.
Oh.
So be sure,
oh,
careful,
dude,
careful, take that.
That's,
I'm like,
so deep.
That's so deep, dude.
I feel like I remember that line being used in Chernobyl.
What nuclear is the cost
power.
Of power?
Nuclear power is the power all its own. Yeah, what is the cost of power? Yeah.
So he listens to Janice while, okay, so he's at a frat party again. Mm-hmm. And Janice is there with one of her girlfriends. And she goes into the bathroom. He listens in on them while they're chatting in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the funniest thing to listen in on? But a girl also taking huge shit while she's pouring out her heart. But she's okay. She's listening to Janice. Janice is like, I just want a real guy who's like, not like
real.
All these other boys, you know.
And I'm not so, like those other girls.
Yeah,
either.
Exactly. Yeah. He hears all this. He's like, oh, cool. But then he's also hearing all these farts. He's like, oh, stinky. Stinky. Oh, stinky farts. What did you eat in there? Sounds like, smells like something crawled up in you and died. Anyway.
Well, clearly it didn't because it fell out.
It could have still died.
That's true.
She just pushed it back out.
It's a dead thing coming out of your butthole.
Yep, sometimes that happens. That's what a parasite is, kind of,
that
right?
That is true. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
They sometimes fall out your butt.
Yeah, and they're dead. And
they're dead.
Yeah, sometimes. But they were up there. Yeah,
they grew up there, and you were just
they
a victim
grew
of
up there. You're their childhood home.
Yeah, their childhood home. Sorry. Let's see. He hears that...
You're going to be their security question when they can't remember their password.
Okay, so there's a real... She's like, basically, I want a real man. And he talks through. She's like, I could be a real man. And they chat about it. And he walks her home. He finds a rose because he can smell a rose and like a bunch of clippings. And he gives it to her. And she's like, oh, my gosh, so romantic.
Right.
And meanwhile, we cut to Tim, who's over here struggling, not looking at nudie magazines. But then he's like, I'm going to grab one, jerk off. I don't care.
Yeah.
And he grabs one and goes to the bathroom. But he sees Daryl putting stuff up his butt. And he's like, oh, he's a junkie.
Steroids.
No, he thought he was a junkie, I think. Oh. And I was like, that's
yeah,
fucked
he
up.
Did. He thought he was on heroin.
That was on heroin. I'm like, yeah, man, you put heroin up your butt? Tim's an idiot. It
makes way more sense if he's on steroids, because that's where you like do the injection.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But anyway, now he goes and tries out for hockey again, and he's great. He nails it. Yes. He stops all the pucks, and the guy's like, amazing, you're on the team.
Yeah.
And so now he goes there. He's on a game.
Yes.
And they're like, this is the first black guy to play for Stanford. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
On the hockey team. And we see it's Greg Gunberg who's announcing, you know, the
yes!
guy from Heroes.
Yeah, the guy from Heroes.
And all the J.J. Abrams movies.
You know why?
Why?
Because he used to be his roommate in college.
Aww.
So he just puts him in all of his pictures.
That's so funny. He's just like Tim and Daryl.
He is like Tim and Daryl.
Yep.
But J.J. Abrams was the one that had...
had super senses.
Yeah.
But he took too much and made The Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. And everyone's like, dude, I don't know about this.
I don't know about this guy anymore. I don't know.
So you saw the game play.
A little bit.
Did you notice that the scoreboard already shows that one goal has occurred?
No.
Before the first goal has occurred, which is like a massive part of the movie, you see the scoreboard. Like, it's not even in the background. It's literally like in the mid-ground of it. It already has one like goal for them already.
That's funny.
So I'm like, okay, so what the fuck is going on here? Like, did no one realize this? I just wrote down very poorly shot movie. They won because of Daryl, and they say the Panthers are back. And they are black, they say, the guy who is best friends with J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Daryl walks into a Wall Street building, and he hears David Spade, Scott, and Rip Torn talk through the wall. And then when they come out, he outshines Scott by mentioning that a CEO bluffs before selling his shares. And this is an interesting moment in the movie, because like now I'm starting to realize, like, okay, so he's got super senses. I get it.
But he also knows shit.
That's what I'm going to say. Like, he does need to know previous information about the CEO who bluffs his shares or whatever, right? Uh-huh. Like, that's not something he knew he just overheard them talking about this conversation.
He's just such a funky character because, like, he knows so much stuff, but yet he just acts like a crazy improv guy.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, I don't see people on Wall Street suddenly busting into, like, being the funniest person in the world. I feel like those are the most boring people ever.
Imagine, like, Marlon Wayans reading the script and going, like, I am going to be taken seriously.
He might have been trying, and then the Weinstein guys came over like, you gotta be funnier.
Be fucking goofy.
Be fucking goofy.
Be Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You idiot. And they spit on him. Yeah, so anyway, so he outshines Scott, and Scott's really pissed about it. He goes into the meeting with Rip Torn, and Rip Torn says that the board has massively high expectations of him, not just because of the fact that he was brought in as the sixth candidate, but also because he now plays hockey. And so he's like, we're going to be getting floor seats at the Knicks, and we're going to be inviting this guy named Arlo Vickers. And Daryl needs to impress him because Arlo is going to he's like a prospective client for the firm and he needs to be able to sign on.
Got
it. So that's something to consider. It's very
important.
Daryl and his lady, who I now know is Janice, they sit on the couch together. I just wrote down, it's awkward. It's like, it really, it just screams like these two actors have zero chemistry.
Yeah, it kind of feels like she's kind of forced into that. I felt like I had more chemistry with the random lady who's just dancing.
She comes into play later, the way. Daryl hears his roommate, Matthew Lillard, recite poetry, and so he recites it for Janice, who's impressed because he knows who Langston Hughes
is. Which is funny because he mentioned they're both in the same class, they're both in the same major.
Yes, and so Janice is impressed, like, oh, you know Langston Hughes? And he's like, oh, yeah! But really, he's just hearing Matthew Lillard recite it out loud while watching a hockey game. And
what a weird character.
Insane. Truly insane.
Because he has a hockey scholarship. That's why he's fine and has no problem with money.
No. He's fine. And also, he's white. It works.
So he has a scholarship.
Yeah, exactly. It works. But his roommate's watching hockey, so he interrupts his poetry reading. And he goes like, all I want to do is score, he says. And so then that's what Daryl says. But it totally works. Totally works out. Daryl.
Because he wants to score.
Because he wants to score and she does too.
Yeah.
So they start kissing each other. But then Daryl immediately comes in his pants.
Oh no, his senses are too strong, including his touch sense.
I didn't even think about
that.
I just thought he was embarrassing.
No.
Is
everything too sensitive?
He just starts fucking coming everywhere. And she's like, you've got to be kidding. And I'm like, oh, he struck out with this girl. But no, like, she is endgame for him, basically, in this movie. One thing I want to shout out is when we see Matthew Lillard's character's bedroom. What's his name? Tim?
Yeah.
Tim. When we see Tim's room, we see a collection of VHS tapes. So we've got Pretty Women.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Basquiat, the cool artist, the biopic of that really cool artist from New York. We've got Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Nice.
And above it all, it's Pat.
Great collection of movies.
Truly an insane collection of films. Like, any of those put together, I'm like, what a crazy, like, feature.
I do love it, though. I love that his character is just like, we're just going to make an insane
person. Yeah. Daryl goes to the fertility clinic, and he asks how much he can get for this, and he pulls up a keg.
Oh, God.
And the lady's like, whoa! Daryl brings Janice to meet his family.
I thought she's like, brought him to the sperm bank.
Brought Janice to the sperm bank.
Yep.
Daryl brings Janice to meet his family. He tackles one of his younger brothers for smoking cigarettes because he can smell it on him. Daryl's mom says that his son was the smartest in the class.
Except for that Korean girl. What was her name, Daryl?
Fat Crack Ho or something like that.
No. Good Lord.
It was... Up until now, I'm like, this movie's pretty good.
There's not a lot of, like, really stuff like that. And then I don't know where it's like, oh, forgot. Oh, it was 90s.
Shit, I forgot. Yeah. And it was such a throwaway thing. Never came up again, obviously. They're not going to reintroduce that character.
Yeah, she's not going to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard what you called me.
And thank you for saying my name properly. Yeah, you know, it's a joke. Yeah. Daryl reveals to his younger brother that he has magic ears and magical powers. And I'm like, okay, I've got it. And then he hands a wad of 20s to his mom in front of everyone. And I'm like, what a crazy thing to do. Like, why not take your mom aside and go like, hey, mom, I hear you're having trouble. Here's some money just to support yourself. He does it in front of fucking everybody, like his girl and everybody. And I'm like, you're just trying to show off, dude. This is not cool. Daryl returns home and Tim hears him take his medicine and suspects that he's juicing. And so
we're on heroin.
Sorry, it's probably the heroin. I wrote down.
That's probably that makes more realistic, but he's kind of an idiot. So.
Yeah. And Daryl's like, I'm gonna do a double dose before tomorrow, because he needs to make sure that he's on his best over these next couple days. So he wakes up and his body. What do you think is going? What do you think is gonna happen if he does a double dose?
I think he's just gonna have way more. It's just gonna be way more intense, and he can't.
No, it's the complete opposite.
Really?
He wakes up and his body's completely wiggly. He can barely stand or walk around.
Oh, no.
And Tim finds him collapsed and calls a doctor who works with addicts, which I originally thought the doctor was played by the voice of Chucky, but now I realize the voice of Chucky's the guy who gave him the medication.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he goes to see that doctor. And the doctor, he's like pissed. He's like, why did you exceed the dosage? And he's like, instead of having all five senses and being able to choose one to pick to the most extent, you're now down one sense.
Oh, so he's missing one.
He's missing one, but you can choose which four senses to use.
So silly.
Which is silly, but I'm also like, what a cool concept for like a video game.
Yeah.
You know,
it definitely feels like a video game concept.
Where it's
like
you can only walk. What is it? Touch, smell, sight, taste, hearing.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, there is a game that I think where it is like you have to solve puzzles or three people. One of them has sight. It's like you hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And each of those abilities, and you have to then like figure out a way to like do something.
I'm like, that's such a cool concept for a game where you have to choose one of those and do like a thing, basically. Mm-hmm. But he's bad at it, of course. And basically he's like, you are down now one sense. You got to stop. You got to hang out. You got to relax. And it's probably, you got to stay in bed for like 3 days. He's like, I can't do that. These next 3 days are the most important days of my life, because tonight is the Knicks game.
Oh, the Knicks, dude.
So he goes and meets Arlo, who's played by Jeff Garlin.
Okay.
And
Jeff Garlin.
Yeah, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he just completely makes an ass of himself. He's like telling people to stand during the sit during the national anthem. He's screaming beer in the stadium. He starts spilling beer. He insults Patrick Ewing to his face. But Arlo fucking loves this. He's laughing his ass off. So they end up getting the account. But Rip Torn is not happy. He's like, you better be on better behavior Sunday at the hockey game. And then there's a fart noise. And then Daryl's like, don't worry, I can't smell a thing. And I'm like, so wait, are we supposed to believe that Rip Torn? So up until this point, I'm like, oh, okay, so Rip Torn's just like a farter. Like, he's just always farting.
Yeah.
Is that not a thing?
Nope.
So then what the fuck was this about?
I don't know.
This feels like...
It feels like when you're at... You know, it is a reference to Trump.
Oh,
yeah. Can't stop shitting, dude.
This feels a bit more like a Weinstein thing. We're like, can you like make Rip Torn fart in this scene? That would be funny.
That'd be funny.
So then Lorraine arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Lillard, for some reason, Tim, thinks that she's a pusher. I don't know why he thinks this, but basically the one that's selling heroin to Marlon Wayans, Daryl. So she shows up. You know who Lorraine is?
No.
So she is in the same sorority as Janice.
Oh, okay. So she's the other lady.
She's the other
lady. She's got kind of bigger hair.
And she is like, yeah, and she's like, ooh, like, I love you, Daryl. I've been keeping my eye on you. You're adorable. Mm-hmm. But Daryl must be on his best behavior. So, but because of the fact that he's like down a sense, he keeps mishearing a bunch of stuff that she says, which you'd think would be like enough for her to be like, I don't want to get with you anymore. But no, she's like throwing herself at him. And which is insane. And I just wrote down massive rapey vibes because it's like he's down one sense. He can't say no.
Yeah.
And it reminded me a lot of like the scenes in Identity Thief where I'm just like, I don't feel comfortable about any of this shit.
Yeah.
But then he actually starts making out with her and trying to like embrace her and like uses his like dead arm to like slap her tits and shit. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, he keeps saying, like, I can't be with you. I'm with Janice. Janice is the love of my life. I can't do this. And then he just starts, like, kissing all over and shit. And I'm just like, I don't know about any of this.
Well, that's weird. I didn't like that.
I didn't like it at all. Mm-mm. I just wrote down,
that makes
what
no
is,
sense.
What is going on? So, he can't stand up. Oh, he can't get it up.
I was going to say, how's he able to do that?
He can't. He can't get it up. And so she's pissed. So she leaves just as Janice shows up.
Damn.
And Janice walks in, sees Daryl in his underwear, collapsed on the ground. And I'm like, he can't say that he didn't do anything because he was fucking kissing her and shit. Right. Like, you know, that was, you know, that's not whatever. So, but he's like, I couldn't even get it up.
And
I didn't
men
do anything
can't be
wrong.
Helpless, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I wrote down what he's doing is clearly cheating in bed. So then Janice like knees him in the balls and walks away. Then Tim walks in, sees Daryl collapsed on the ground. Half naked, you know, and in pain, knocked out. And so they're like, oh shit, he's OD'd. So they give him like an adrenaline shot, Pulp Fiction.
Oh God.
And
why does he have one of those?
Huh?
Why does he have one of those?
Oh, because the, he kept calling people who were like, if you know a drug addict, call us. And so eventually those people come with him and they're like, let's give him an adrenaline shot. And they give it to him and he's, you know, then he seems fine, but I guess he's not. He's just he's still losing his senses, which is crazy. He explains to Matthew Lillard, Tim, what's been going on. He's like, I'm on a drug. I'm overwhelmed. I'm down one sense, blah, 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 blah. But now he's got to go to Hell Night, which is like for hazing.
Oh, got it.
For the fraternity that Scott runs. So Scott's pouring vinegar and Pepto-Bismol and Tabasco and alcohol into this big bowl. And Daryl doesn't know what's in there. So he's like, oh, can I have a drink? And the whole point is that he's hazing everyone. So yeah, everyone has to have a drink of this. So he's like, yeah, you're going to eat the biggest cup. So he pours a big old cup for him and he gives it to him. And he drinks it. And of course, he can't taste it. Huh. So he takes one sip and he's just like, it's bland. And he just keeps drinking it. He keeps knocking it back. And everyone's like, what the fuck? So then later in the night, the final test, Scott says that Daryl is the weakest link, which is insane to me because he's like a star athlete.
I know.
Like
he's the weakest link.
Yeah. Probably a race thing, I suppose.
There are black folks in the frat also.
Yeah.
And Daryl tries to be friends with them and they're just like, nah.
So it's, something else. So he's like, last test, you're going to get a spanking. But Daryl can't feel anything, which pisses Scott off.
Oh.
And that's the end of that scene.
Okay.
It's time for the big hockey game. Daryl keeps losing his vision. And I was like, you think you might want to like sacrifice another...
How long is this effect going to last?
3 days.
Okay.
And I'm like, you think he might want to sacrifice his sense of taste or something? Like,
yeah,
you know, so he can use his eyes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's whatever. 5 minutes left. Team's losing by 12. The game is over. Yeah. Daryl goes to what he thinks is Janice's house because he can't see. And he's like touching like the numbers.
Uh-huh.
And he opens the door and Rip Torn answers the door. And Daryl busts in. And he's like, don't say anything. And of course, Rip Torn listens to him. And he says, I just want to apologize. I messed everything up. And he thinks he's talking to Janice.
Uh-huh.
And at first it makes sense because he's just like, I messed everything up and I just wanted this so badly
and
it got in the way of everything. But then he starts going like, and I love you. I love you so much. I love how you feel. I love how you taste. And Rip Torn is just like, wah! Like, but he still doesn't say anything. Uh-huh. As like, you know, Daryl's like chasing after him, and eventually he ends up embracing Rip Torn. So Rip Torn just starts beating the fuck out of him.
No.
And I'm like, damn, how did he get this so wrong? Like where Janice was living. Uh-huh. And then, do you want to guess what happens?
Oh no, Janice does live there.
Janice does live there.
And it's her like his daughter.
Yeah. Oh, Rip Torn. Okay. Is Janice's dad. Oh. And then Daryl starts piecing together like what's going on, like, oh my god, you're Rip Torn's daughter. And then he looks at Rip Torn and he says, he's like, have you been dipping in the chocolate? And we get this incredible shot of Rip Torn. I don't know what kind of direction they gave Rip Torn to this shot, and I kind of want you to like, I don't have it on me, I need to pull it up. The best way I can describe it is it's like when the Grinch smiles.
Great description.
It's exact. It's just like, yeah, dude. And then Janice in a fucking robe because she's right out of the bathroom, marches Daryl into the apartment hallway to lecture him. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Like,
this is so weird.
In no way would she be like, all right, I'm right out of the shower, I'm gonna take this guy who I caught cheating on me into the alley, like that the hallway of the apartment complex, to tell him that I don't want to be with him anymore. And he begs her. He's like, look, something's going on with me, I can't go and get into what, but I need you to believe that I'm a good man. And she says, why should I believe you? And he says, because I need you to. And I'm like, what a probably truly one of the worst lines in cinema history. Like, what is that? That screams like a screenwriter, Craig Mazin, going like, how do I keep these two together? Well, she needs to believe him, so I'm just gonna have him say it.
Like, you just trust each other with love.
Luckily it doesn't work. Okay. Luckily she's like, get the fuck out of my face. Yeah. So he does. Daryl asks Tim to help him study for the final competition for the Wall Street job. Scott is tutored by a room full of white men in suits, and we get truly the worst, the most boring montage you can imagine, where it's just these two looking through
I was gonna say, I don't know how it's gonna be very interesting.
It's
to make
so
that
boring, dude,
studying montage.
They're just like, look at all the different market rates, look at all the graphs, what would we do in this situation? But I wrote down, it's not boring to Mazin, because I'm sure he's fucking floored by this. Love, he loves this.
Yeah.
But one thing that's really cool is that one of the guys that's teaching Scott, one of the guys that's in like white guys in suits who's, you know, works on Wall Street, is this character actor named Ivar Brager.
Ivar Brager.
Ivar Brager. I know him from the Poughkeepsie tapes. He plays a cop or an investigator. And if you look him up on IMDb, yeah, he's literally only ever played like cop number two, or like white guy in suit number one, or like police officer,
yeah,
or like
Jewel.
He's in a ton of things, but if you look at his like roles, never a name. It's never a guy's name. It's like a job. It's always a job.
Priest, Bellamy, minister, judge, therapist, priest, yeah, doctor.
But he's been in the industry for fucking ever. Like, yeah. And like, honestly, good for him. Ivar Brager, you're not listening to this, but if you were, I just want to say, shout out to you. I love you, man. You, every time I see you, I point at the screen like Leonardo DiCaprio. Anyway, so Daryl steps out of a cab, but he's still blind. He steps out of the cab on Wall Street, but he's still blind. And he asked an unhoused man to show him where the building he's looking for is. Mm-hmm. And the unhoused man guides him into an alleyway and just beats him up and steals his clothing. So Daryl's running around Wall Street completely naked, and he's just blindly assaulting women. He's just like, help me, help me. And he's like grabbing their skirts. And he eventually runs into a suit store. I don't know how he finds it, but he runs in there.
Okay.
And he's like,
probably a ton of them on Wall Street,
I guess. He runs in there, and the guy's like, I'm going to help you out. And he's like, I got 10 minutes, man. I got $50 in my socks. You need to help me the fuck out. Like, I have this insane, important interview, competition, blah, blah, blah. He's like, don't worry. So Daryl shows up. What do you think he's wearing?
For $50.
$50. But this guy's like, don't worry, because it's another black guy. And he's like, don't worry, man, I got you. I know this is important to you.
It's a zoot suit.
It's so close. It's a leisure suit.
Okay.
He shows up wearing the fucking like most loud polyester leisure suit you've ever seen in your damn life. And he walks in. He's like, hey, where's the bathroom? And he goes to the bathroom and he just pisses himself. Oh. So not only has a leisure suit, but he's pissing himself. And it's like green. He's
pulling himself a Bradley Cooper.
He's pulling himself a Bradley Cooper. But it is the green liquid that was in his body. And now it's gone out of his system. Now that it's 3 days. So now he's just back to normal, basically.
Got it.
And so then he walks up on stage for the competition. I wrote down, it's a literal competition. And we see a montage of the competition. I wrote down, boring.
Hard to make this interesting.
It's off. Because it's like, what? There's six people.
Numbers.
So we just keep like cutting out people. And they're like, yes, the square root of the hypotenuse.
Uh-huh.
Did I just touch your foot?
You did touch my foot.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We were thinking about the square root hypotenuse.
And I was so hot.
You were so high on
so
it.
People just kept fucking leaving. And I'm just like, this is boring as shit. And then finally, it's just, of course, Scott and Daryl left at the end of it all. And they're like, what would you do if you were to take over this company? How would you maintain it? Scott says, I would invest in startups and emerging markets.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And I would also probably buy NFTs and get into AI.
Yeah.
Daryl says, because it's a bank that they're like being offered to run or something, like a financial institution. Daryl says, I would start a community bank and invest in places that the banks usually abandon. I'm like, that's pretty great.
It's pretty good, but sounds like I won't make any money.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, if you're doing this in a competition, I feel like if you're talking to the heads, they'll be like, well, there's no money in that. Like, why would we do that? Like, obviously, Scott's is the right answer. But like in our hearts, we know Daryl's is what's better for the world, right? And so everyone, like Rip Torn, everyone leans in. They're just like, two good answers. What do we do now? That was the last question we had. So now they have a final question, a tiebreaker. And it's a chart. And they have to answer a question about a chart. I don't know what the fuck the chart's about. It's Simon's inflation rate.
Sure.
Basically inflation. Scott knows the answer, but he doesn't know why he knows the answer. But Daryl... does know. He gets up and he's practiced it because he knows it from previous because he was talking to Tim.
He's like, $60,000 will be worth $120 in 20 years, $120K.
This job will be worth this amount of money. Daryl has practiced. So he got the job. Everyone applauds. Daryl gets up to accept his position, but he admits he was cheating.
What?
Yeah. Wow. He's like, I do deserve this, but I was taking an experimental drug. And he gave me a heads up. I'm not even joking.
That's so stupid.
I just wrote down, please end already. I want to die. He apologizes to everybody, but he's like, I did earn this honestly. I did this by myself.
I did so this like, honestly, but also I cheated.
But I also cheated. Scott is cut off from his family. Rip Torn says that the board has made their decision. The position that they were working so hard for, the junior position, will not be awarded to anybody. But Rip Torn says... he didn't get this in the first time either. You see, he started in the mailroom, and he got to where he was now due to hard work, picking yourself up by your bootstraps.
Classic CEO.
And he says, when graduation hits, Daryl, you'll get that job in the mailroom, and in a year, I bet you'll get that position you're going out for. And I'm like, man, if this movie ends now, I'm going to be fucking pissed. And honestly, I wish it had. 1 year later, Daryl is being congratulated for getting that job.
The
real job, not the mailroom. He's getting that junior position. And Janice is still in the picture. Yeah. They're still hanging out. Tim is now dating Lorraine from earlier, the one that fucking assaulted Daryl. And Janice and Daryl and Tim and Lorraine are all in the same room. And it's, I appreciate the actor playing Janice because you see on her face, like, why in the fuck is this bitch here? And she's right. Daryl offers to move his mom and family to a deluxe apartment on the east side.
Ooh, moving on up.
And that song plays.
Really? Oh my God.
And Ethan, it gets worse. No. So we hear, moving on up to the east side. And then, the Jeffersons part playing, the camera pans over, and it just shows the Twin Towers. Which they didn't know. And then Daryl's, like, walking down the street to this song, and I'm just, as I'm hearing this song, I'm just like, God, we really disappointed, like everybody. Like, I'm like, damn, this is such a sad song when you think about it. Like, they just wanted fucking equal opportunities, and they got it, and now look where we're at. Like, I'm just listening to this song, and it feels like a dirge. And then Daryl's just like walking down the street, just dancing, like it's all good. And then he walks into the office, but before he goes in there, he tips the doorman, who's played by Mr. Jefferson from the Jeffersons.
Oh my God!
And that's the end of the movie. Is Mr. Jefferson turns around and he's like flipping the coin that fucking Daryl just gave him, and he's just like golly gee, I'm sure glad that I got paid today, like it tipped, for opening a door. And then that's the end of the movie. And then I looked up the guy that played Mr. Jefferson. Guy was like fucking like in the closet. He was so depressed for his entire life. He died in obscurity. And I'm just like, God damn, what a sad fucking movie this was.
I think the thing is you knew too much.
I did. I shouldn't have looked into any of it. I shouldn't have looked into it.
Well,
so that's the end of the movie. But it actually ends with an R&B version of Moving On Up. And I'm like, what are we doing here, guys?
The 90s, bro.
So that's senseless.
You know, it's bad.
It's so bad, dude.
But weirdly not as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah, no. It wasn't as offensive as I was anticipating.
No, there's definitely moments I'm like, ugh. But yeah.
I thought it was going to be way worse.
Yeah, like, it's weird
Marlon Wayans is fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's not the worst part of this movie.
It's not his fault he was doing all the improv and cut it out.
Yeah.
Some parts that were funny and then went on way too long.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was okay.
It was fine.
It was not a great watch, but it was fine. It was whatever.
It was fine.
It's weird because like I feel like almost like Identity Thief. I was like, plot, it's like fine, I guess. But,
well,
like,
remember with Identity Thief, we do have to do that thing where we're like, is it Craig or is it Mazin?
Which one was the bad one?
Craig.
Craig.
Because okay. Mazin is a Mazin. Oh, so yeah, this is Craig.
This is Craig.
This is full Craig.
This is full Craig.
Yeah, I'm not a fan
Craiging
of this
Craiging out over here.
Yeah. I never want to see this movie again.
No.
And Craig Mazin, the thing is, it's hard for me to like blame him.
Because
it sounds like he didn't necessarily... He also co-wrote the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like, everything that I've seen, I'm just like, I don't know if it's like completely
his fault. Yeah.
It's always like a little bit of doubt where I'm like, maybe
somebody else probably came in and ruined this.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Or I just also don't think generally his humor is very funny.
I agree with that. Because I feel like they hire him. I bet he's really good as like a script doctor. Like he knows how to like lay things out.
Probably.
Set things up. And then if they have like a financial or like money or like number issue, mm-hmm. he's like, I got you, baby.
Yeah.
I got you. But yeah, I'd give this to Craig.
All right. I give it to Craig as well.
Guys, would you take a experimental drug to be smart? He's not even smart.
For like 9K.
For nine. Dude. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking about inflation. I'm like, yeah, 9K. Yeah.
Email us. Email theitherhatpodcast.com. Email us at email theitherhatpodcast.com. Email us, email@theotherhalfpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we also have a Discord. You can also find all of our previous The Dog Days of Mazin on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it is weirdly referencing the Jeffersons at the end of it all.
Very strange.
Did you ever watch the Jeffersons?
No, I never watched the Jeffersons.
It's good.
I heard. It seems like a cultural phenomenon. So much so that other things just straight up rip it off.
For no reason.
For no reason.
Just for
end.
Referencing it.
Yep.
Good night, everybody. 'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.